It's Tuesday, October 13th, and you're tuned in to Argus News Radio, a weekly look at news, culture, and life at Wesleyan University and beyond. I'm your host, Andrea Dominic. Hey, thanks so much for tuning in. Argus News Radio is a collaboration between Wesleyan's student newspaper, The Argus, and WESU-FM in Middletown. Let's kick off today's show by taking a look at some of the headlines from the past week. Last Tuesday, Wesleyan hosted Middletown's first official mayoral debate between Republican incumbent Sebastian Giuliano and Democratic challenger Dan Drew. The debate, moderated by senior Lily Mandlin, was largely focused on Middletown's budget. Drew criticized Giuliano's tax increases and job cuts in the Middletown Police Department and emphasized Middletown's need for new leadership. Giuliano, on the other hand, accused the Democratic Council of stretching the city's limited financial resources and blocking his efforts to improve conditions. The next official debate will be held on October 28th at the First Church of Christ in Middletown. In other local news, the Middletown chapter of Food Not Bombs has emerged victorious after an ongoing struggle with the Middletown Health Department. Food Not Bombs was issued a cease and desist order by the department last spring. Changes to the Connecticut food law in question were approved just over a week ago by the General Assembly. They will soon be signed into law by Republican Governor Jody Rell. The amendment will allow food cooked in private kitchens to be distributed through charitable organizations such as soup kitchens and groups like Food Not Bombs. And finally, Wesleyan's partnership with the QuestBridge program has allowed 35 freshmen to overcome financial and social obstacles so that they may attend the university. QuestBridge helps match high-achieving, low-income students with elite four-year colleges such as Wesleyan. QuestBridge scholars at Wesleyan this year are the first. The university became a partner with the program just last year. The scholars so far have praised the program, saying that it's helped them secure a future that they had otherwise not thought possible for them. And that's about it for this week's headlines. If you tuned in last week, you may have remembered another headline about a new program called Zipcars that will be arriving on Wesleyan's campus later this month. Argus News Radio's Gianna Palmer recently sat down with Wesleyan Student Assembly member Ben Fierke to discuss the Zipcar program.
Hi, this is Gianna Palmer for Argus News Radio. I'm here with Ben Fierke, class of 2012, and chair of the Wesleyan Student Assembly's Finance and Facilities Committee, also known as the man who brought Zipcars to Wesleyan. Thanks for coming in, Ben. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Glad to be here.
Great. So for those who don't know, tell us a little bit about what Zipcars are and why they're here now.
Okay, so Zipcar is the world's largest car sharing service. And what they do is they provide the service where they bring, two fully operational cars to Wesleyan. And Wesleyan students can basically use them on an hourly basis. And it's a lot easier, a lot more hassle-free than regular car ownership, and it provides a lot more opportunities for transportation for students who know how to drive and have valid licenses, but they don't have a car on campus. So
great. So how can students sign up for that?
You go to zipcar.com/Wesleyan. And you just sign up online. You fill out their online form, and that's basically it. It's pretty easy.
Awesome. So, say I go and fill out the form. I'm all signed up. How do I actually get a car? Is there a way to reserve it, or are they going to be parked even?
Well, what happens? They're probably going to be parked by the behind the Alberton Center, in those two spaces, right there. And what happens is when you register for Zipcar, you get this thing called the Zip Card. Which is a little, it's about the size of a credit card. And what you do is you basically you scan it, you call in to Zipcar in advance. You can text them, you can call them.
Really?
Yeah, there's an iPhone application that you guys should get if you have an iPhone.
Great. Or 21st century.
Yeah, or you can just go online and basically you just make a little reservation.
Okay.
And they have the availability of the cars there, and then you go and you take your little Zipcar, and you basically swipe it on the car. And then it unlocks, and the key's already inside, and then you just take it and use it for as long as you need it. Yeah, you go. You zip off,
Is there any limit to how far you can go in the Zipcar?
No. You can, if you wanted to drive it to, Eugene, Oregon.
For example, my hometown.
You could, or to Chicago, where I live. And then it costs about $8 an hour.
Okay.
$9 on the weekends to use, but if you're going to say go to Eugene or Chicago, then they have daily rates, which are I think it's $66 per day, during the weekdays, and it's a little more. I don't really know off the top of my head for the weekends, okay. but it's still very reasonable. So it's a lot cheaper than just using a regular car, when
right?
Because the zip car pays for gas and everything.
So if you got a car full of people, you could split it between you, and it'd be quite
yeah.
cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what kind of cars are going to be here?
We're going to have a Toyota Prius, which was really, really important to us. So we had at least one hybrid.
Okay.
And I believe the other car we're going to have is a Honda Civic, which is also very fuel efficient. And I think it gives, between those two cars, students have a lot of different options.
Great. So I guess the question we're all waiting for is, when are these cars going to be available for student use?
We're hoping very, very soon. We have a conference call with the Zipcar people tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
To figure out, I guess, the last bits of the, you know, the rollout. And yeah, they'll be here very soon. We've been working really hard to get this. I've been working on this literally all summer to
wow.
To bring this to Wesleyan, and you know, we just have a little bit of stuff left to do, and but you know, it should be, you know, in a blink of an eye, we'll get these guys ready to go.
Great.
So.
And so, are Zipcars already at other schools around the country?
Yeah, they're at about, I think, 150 different college campuses, and it's
okay.
It ranges from schools like, I know, I think Smith has a few cars. And then University of Michigan has some cars. You know, it's like,
okay.
It doesn't, you know, schools of all different sizes, of all different, you know,
right.
You know, student body types, you know,
sure.
have these cars. And it just because it just makes sense, it provides a lot more flexibility in transportation options. And I think a lot of universities are beginning to realize that.
Great. So I guess this is going to be the pilot year.
Yeah.
How will you know, at the end of this year, how will you know what comes next with Zipcars? Could we get more cars?
Yeah, well, we're in a two-year, we have a two-year deal with
okay.
Zipcar. And so what's going to happen is at the end of this year, we'll know if, you know, if the demand's so good, maybe we'll get more cars. You know, it's really just sort of a keep an eye on it, wait and see thing. But I have complete faith that this is going to be a enormous success.
Yeah.
The WSA, we're footing the bill for this, and we've done a lot of the legwork, although we've gotten a lot of great help from Dave Meyer and John Mirtz in the administration,
okay.
who are fantastic guys. Sorry, what was the question again?
Oh, I was just wondering, is there, yeah. you know, possibility for expanding this? Could
yeah,
we get more cars?
Yeah,
the
depending on, you know, if the cars are, you can, if the cars are used all the time, then... We can expand. We're not really, right now we're just looking at making the program a success as it is, and I have complete faith that it will be.
Great.
Focus on the now, you know, just
sure.
getting them up and running.
All right, Ben, well, thank you so much for coming in.
Yeah, thank you, Gianna. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. she takes hold, then you know. Till the spirit new sensation takes hold, then you know. Till the spirit new sensation takes hold, then you know.
And we're back with Argus News Radio. Next up, we have Ezra Silk talking to sophomore Nathaniel Draper about an internship he did this summer at the Cannes Film Festival in the south of France.
Hi, this is Ezra Silk from Argus News Radio, and I'm here with Nathaniel Draper. He's a sophomore at Wesleyan, and he interned at the Cannes Film Festival this summer. Nathaniel, what is the difference between what people think of the Cannes Film Festival and what actually happens there?
Well, I was doing an internship at the Cannes Film Festival, and while Cannes is mostly known for its high-profile festival with all the movies and celebrities, it's actually more of a film market with lower-grade professionals
okay.
doing things.
And what do you mean by market?
It's the Cannes Film Market, which is this big pavilion with hundreds and hundreds of booths, is the place where 80% of the world's film for the year is bought and sold, be it distribution rights, production, or deals.
Okay. And who are you there with? Who is introducing you to this scene?
I was there with a program through the American Pavilion, which is the American Center for Film at Cannes, with about 50 other interns. And we had our mentors taking us around, and then they just gave us festival accreditation to go kind of sort it out for ourselves.
Mm-hmm. And what were the type of people you were meeting?
It was everywhere from high-profile directors meeting just at a glance, like Francis Ford Coppola or actors. Eli Roth was one. But mostly it was lower professional filmmakers who were really there for business work.
Mm-hmm. And you said people were superficial?
No, not in... In a sense, there was certainly the glamorized aspect. People do a lot to maintain that, especially during the nightlife. But during the day, everyone's charming.
Mm-hmm. And what was your experience of the nightlife?
It ranged from yacht parties in Monte Carlo to villa parties in Cannes, where fashion shows broke out and celebrities showing up on cocaine and being carted off by their people. It was surreal, to say the least.
So... What celebrities were you at parties with?
Paris Hilton, shamefully. Justin Long. People who, you know, you don't get over the moon about, but it was still bizarre and interesting to see.
Okay. And you were working with this director, Jonas Mekas. Can you tell us a little bit about him?
Yeah. Through friends we met at the festival, we later on connected with avant-garde director Jonas Mekas in Paris and just spent about a week hanging around with him and his cohorts, going to his art openings and just learning a few tricks of the trade from this wizened old man.
Mm-hmm. And so overall, did you like being at Cannes?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Nathaniel.
And that's a wrap for this week's edition of Argus News Radio. Thanks so much for stopping by. Our fine staff are producers Sam Bernhardt and Mary Longley, senior contributor Ezra Silk, and contributor Gianna Palmer. Be sure to tune in next week for an all-new episode of Argus News Radio, same time and same place, 2:45 p.m. on Tuesdays on WESU. Or catch us online anytime, streaming on our website, www.wesleyanargus.com. For Argus News Radio, I'm Andrea Dominic.